Romans chapter 8. We're just going to look at five verses, verses 36 through 30. I'm excited about doing this tonight. This is so encouraging to God's people. You know, we need encouraging. When Joshua was ready to take Moses' place, the Lord said to Moses, encourage him. Encourage him. And we all need encouraging. And I hope this is a blessing to you tonight. Let's read our scripture lesson and pray, and we'll begin. Verse 26 through 30. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just a very quick review of what we looked at last time in verses 14 through 25. Just to remind you, because it leads right into this. We saw that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And we saw also that you and I have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We saw that the Spirit in us bears witness with our spirit, showing us that we are God's children by producing in us love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then there was this verse that said, if children, which all of us are who believe, then we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And Paul gave this illustration and said, our present sufferings, whatever they are, no matter how great they may be, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in all of us. And in the last lesson, we saw that the earnest expectation of all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption imposed on them because of Adam's sin, and shall be brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, as I was thinking about that, I want to add just a thought. You can consider it. Some think that this deliverance of the creation only applies to the land of Israel. I don't believe that. I believe the whole creation is groaning and waiting, and it'll all be delivered. And brethren, while they groan, we do, ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, waiting for the redemption of our body. And that's our hope. And we, with patience, wait for it. Now let's look at our lesson for tonight. Let's read verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Consider that with me. The Spirit of God, which dwells in every one of us, teaches us, comforts us, and leads us into all truth. It's a spirit of adoption that witnesses with our spirit that we're God's children. And beside all that He's already done for us, He helps our infirmities. In our weakness, we groan within ourselves for needs, both for ourselves and for others. Every one of us have infirmities in this life. Now, we're not weak and infirm in the sense that unsaved people are, because they don't know anything about what we have. We hope they will, but they don't know the Lord yet. They can never perform anything that's spiritually good. But again, considering our infirmities, they're not all the same. Some are weaker in faith. Some have less knowledge. Some have fewer experiences. Some have a weak conscience. Your conscience is what tells you that something is right or wrong. Now listen to me, your conscience can be taught. And it ought to be taught and grounded in the Scripture. Things that the world says is right and good, you know is wrong because your conscience is solid in the Scriptures. You know what's right and what is not. We all have bodily afflictions. I don't want to pour out my hurts for anybody, but I probably got as many as most people. And I know that many of you do, and you're going through a struggle with a lot of that right now. We all have the temptations of the tempter, and our corruption is always there to oppose us, try to keep us from doing what we know that we ought to do. But praise God, we're not left to sink under these weaknesses and infirmities. We're helped mightily by the Spirit in us. He's always with us. We don't have to pray for the Spirit to come. He's already here. He's helping us now. He's teaching us now. He's comforting us now. And he's praying for us. Now, Paul wrote this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What a striking statement. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. I think you'll agree with me that we don't always know what would really be the best for us. So, it's kind of scary to ask. We don't know what God is willing to grant to us exactly. And it comes mainly because of our ignorance of the Scriptures and their proper application to us. And sometimes we're in real deep perplexity. We're surrounded with trial, exposed to temptation, weakened by disease. And in these circumstances, if we were left alone, we would neither be able to bear up under our trials or know what to ask at the hand of God to relieve us of them. But praise God, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is so wonderful and amazing. Now, you're wise enough to know what this means. And I think you'll understand the gist of it. The word intercession speaks of prayer. Intercession is defined as the act of interceding or pleading on behalf of another. We need prayer in the midst of the groans and the sorrows and the suffering in which we're surrounded. Prayer, brothers and sisters, is our refuge. It's the expression of our dependence upon God and our confidence in Him. Now, we've been graciously taught the manner in which we pray, but often we don't know what we should pray for. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered according to the will of God. Now, you've been like me. Sometimes you're so burdened. You're so pressed. You're so troubled. That when you try to speak, you can't even say anything. Or something you feel like that you need and you can't get the words out. But the mind of the Spirit is known of God and heard by Him. And besides this intercession by the Spirit in prayer, there's the intercession of Christ at the right hand of God. We're hedged about, made secure, and can have constant peace and joy in our daily walk with the Lord. Now, verse 27 puts us together. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. This is talking about God. Because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God alone can search the hearts and the mind. He knows our thoughts afar off. There's not a word in our tongue that He doesn't know altogether. God searches the hearts and reins. God knows what the Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity, has in mind. The last phrase, it says, He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Either He moves us to pray or aids us while we are praying. I mentioned a while ago that we sometimes are so overcome that we can hardly speak. And I thought about a couple of different people in the Scriptures. Remember Samuel's mother, Hannah? She's married to Elkanah, who had another wife. Her name was Peninnah. And Peninnah was aggravating Hannah. Hannah was barren. And it made her fret. She was disturbed. She wanted a child. Let me read this from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 through 14. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. That means he watched her. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she'd been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. But she was praying in her heart. God was hearing that prayer. So good! Wasn't it good? She gave him a bit. She gave Hannah a boy. Samuel, ask of God. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac. And you'd find this in Genesis 24. And as he got there, he didn't know what to do. He told Abraham, now suppose this woman won't come. He said, okay, she won't come. You're free of the oath. Don't worry about it another minute. But he was so overcome. When he got there, he was praying, but he was like Hannah. Nothing was coming out of his mouth. It was coming out of his heart. And he related this later to Rebekah's folks. And he said this, I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now Thou do prosper my way which I go. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And he goes on to say, before I had done speaking in mine heart, not out loud, in my heart, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder and went down to the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And he continued on with the story. God answered his prayer. What wonderful assurance you and I have as the Spirit helps us and prays for us according to the will of God. 1 John 5:14 said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask. We know we have the petition that we desired of him. What an encouragement to pray. Though our prayers be but sighs and groan, unutterable, like Hannah and Abraham's servant, God knows it all. What a blessing. Then verse 28. And connected right to that, Spirit praying for us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I don't know what all is going on in your life, and you don't know what all is going on in my life, but I know this. If you're one of God's children, every single thing is working together for your good. It may be sickness. It may be disappointment. It may be heartache. Maybe you overcame. Maybe you did a great thing. Whatever it is, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's working together for your good. No matter how difficult. But it's only to those who love God. And we love him because what? He first loved us. To them that are called according to his purpose. Not to every person on earth without exception, but to them who are the called according to his purpose. And his purpose is that Christ will be the firstborn among many brethren. And we're part of that host of brethren. That verse you could talk about forever. To us who are his children alone, these things work out for good. Now, let me read verses 29 and 30 together. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. This continued part of why all things work together. The Spirit praying for us. And God has already lined things out that as far as he's concerned, we're already glorified. We're already seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Now I want you to notice, it says, for whom he did foreknow, it does not say what God foreknew. God knows everything. But it's whom. The English word foreknow comes from the Greek word prognostiko, and is found 5 times in the New Testament. In Acts 26:5, it says, which knew me from the beginning. In our text we just read, Romans 11:2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained. That's the word. It shows that God knew some who are foreordained. Those he foreknew, he also did predestinate. And what is that destiny? To be conformed to the image of his Son. To be just like Jesus. The same ones he foreknew were predestinated, marked out to a destiny. And those same ones he predestinated, them he also called. That is, in time, they were called by the gospel, just like you and I were called by the gospel. And the same ones who were called were also justified. God declared them righteous. It's like you'd been to court and now you're declared by the judge as righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I want to read these 2 passages and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, notice the phraseology, together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that's some deep water for people that have never really considered all of that. This is how God sees us. Quickened, made alive together with Christ. Raised us up together with Christ. Made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. That's why, brethren, we're already glorified. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Seated with him, our life is in him. When he appears, we will appear with him. Foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. The golden chain of redemption from eternity to eternity. Thank you. God bless you.